Did you know that you get paid by the utility for setting up solar power plant on your roof and sending the energy back to the grid? Did you also know that the cost of putting a solar power plant on your roof has decreased by over 50%, while the electricity tariff that you pay the utility has nearly doubled over the last few years? So, are you interested to set up a solar power plant on your roof? Hello and welcome to Mission Junior. I am Girish Shivakumar. For a long time, solar was generally associated with the solar water heaters that you see on people's roof. But the cost of setting up a solar power plant has decreased significantly over the last few years, and government regulations worldwide are encouraging people to set up solar power plants on their roofs and generate their own energy. Well, are you one of those consumers who have been contemplating to set up a solar power plant, but you want to know the nitty-gritties of getting a system done? Well, this is the episode for you. On this podcast episode, I chat with Sharath, who runs the company Solarify from Bangalore, to know more about the process of setting up a solar power plant, especially for an independent consumer who lives in an independent house. Hello, Sharath. Glad to have you on the podcast. So let's begin by looking at why someone would approach an installer like you before setting up a solar power plant. What are their intentions in the first place?
So, Girish, thank you for having me on the show. So there are broadly five reasons to consider when you're looking at going for a rooftop solar plant. The first one is, let us look into the different reasons why someone would consider. So the multiple reasons are, one would want a power backup. One would want to save money on their bills or maybe even get a net zero bill. One would want to be energy independent from the grid. Or one would only want to depend on clean energy. Or you're looking to monetize your empty rooftop space. So these are different reasons why someone would consider to go for a rooftop plant in the first place.
Well, that's true. But it doesn't end there, right? I am sure there are a lot more steps that one needs to do if they have to have a successful solar plant installed. So what are the steps that they have to undertake next?
So as a second step, you'll need to look out for some certain aspects which would make your solar project a success. So one would be the terrace space that is available on your home. So terrace space, which is free from shadow, is very important, and also enough space to power your house. And then there's a power scenario in your locality, how bad and how frequent are the power cuts. And then there's electricity bills, and you have to look at how high are your monthly electricity bills and how often are the tariff hikes that are happening. On an average, for example, in the city of Bangalore, we have seen an average 7% increase year on year in the electricity bills. And then there's lastly the solar policy in the state. So every state has their own solar policies, and it's important that the policies are aligned to the customer's interests.
So correct, as you rightly said, solar or generally in electricity sector is highly regulated, and policies and regulations play a key part. So you go about meeting a lot of clients in different parts of the country and under different policy scenarios. So how do you go about recommending a particular type of solar installation to the clients?
So broadly, there are three objectives why one would go for rooftop solar. The first is the power backup. The second is to save electricity bills or get net zero bills. And third is completely depending on only clean energy. So how do you decide what is an option that is suitable for you? If you have a lot of power cuts in your locality and you currently do not have a power backup plan like a UPS or a diesel generator, then going for a power backup solution or a solar off-grid solution is the best thing. If your electricity bills are very high and you're looking to save some money and you already have a UPS, then in that case, going for a solar on-grid is a much better option, which would help you save a lot of bills for a really long time. And then the third is the clean energy dependence. Obviously, in the first two cases, you are using solar, so there is a dependence on only clean energy. However, if you go for a solar off-grid, if you're using lead-acid batteries, then the energy is not really that clean. So an on-grid is a much better option if you really want to go for a clean energy option. And also, the on-grid has much better efficiency of the usage of power and has much longer life because it does not depend or have any batteries in the system.
Oh, well, very true. On-grid solar installations are very common these days, especially considering the government regulations highly favor installations with net metering. But I'm sure even some residential consumers opt for installations with battery just to be sure that they have a backup when the power is out. Now, going a little bit more in detail, if you had to look at some of the technical aspects of installing a solar power plant, what are the key points that you would probably bring out to anyone who's hearing it for the first time?
You have multiple components. Most importantly, of course, the solar panels. In solar panels, you'll have actually poly and mono as broadly the different categories of solar panels. Most commonly used panels are called polycrystalline panels. Monocrystalline panels are slightly more efficient at a little slightly higher cost. It also uses a much lesser space than a poly. If you have the space, I think poly is a much more capital efficient system or an option. Mono is usually chosen if there is a space constraint. And of course, if your area is a very low in light intensity area, so it generates a little better power as compared to a polycrystalline panel. Of course, these are the two types, but there are also from where these panels come from. We broadly can categorize them into Indian make, Chinese make, and other imported make. There are multiple Indian companies that do these panels well. Of course, there are really good imported companies which have much better efficiencies or longer warranty periods. So that is things that need to be considered when you're making a choice. Then comes the inverters. So in the inverters, inverter is actually the second most important component in the solar plant. You have string inverters, you have optimizer technology, and you have micro inverter technology broadly. These are used depending on various factors on a rooftop, like a space, shadow conditions, costing, and your overall objectives. And then comes the battery. So in a solar off-grid, you are using batteries. Batteries are, so broadly again, they are into lead-acid batteries, which are regular lead-acid batteries, solar lead-acid batteries, and you have lithium-ion-based batteries. So again, these have different warranty periods, and performance is also a little different for all of these. And then comes choosing a company. How do you choose what company to go for? By a company, I mean a solar integrator. So some of the important things apart from the panels, inverters, and batteries, while choosing a solar integrator, are the other things like how well the company does the wiring, the earthing, lightning arresters, and other safety measures, and whether the company delivers the entire installation on time, which is very important. Of course, if do they take up the complete ESCOM licensing, that means providing a complete turnkey project of the solar installation. Other last important thing that needs to be looked at is your maintenance and your AMCs. So usually they have a few years of free maintenance, post which the AMC yearly annual maintenance charge applies. The other things that you need to look at is your is the cost. Of course, the lowest is not necessarily the best solution for your home. You will have to definitely look at ROIs, because end of the day, solar is also an investment which will give you decent returns. But L1 is not necessarily the best option. So choose your panels, inverters, and the solar integrator carefully, because your long-term viability of the project very much depends on this.
Thanks, Sharat. I'm sure that was very concise and very short overview of the technical aspects of the system. Solar panels and inverters are very key. But if I had to look at it from the consumer end, consumers would look for some amount of guarantee, or they would seek some assurance from an installer like you. So what would you recommend the end consumer before they had to choose an installer?
Final thing is, what do you ask for when you're choosing your solar project and you're finalizing the deal? Of course, apart from the panels and the inverter, you'll also have to look at what is the minimum number of units generation guaranteed per year. So this is a very important number. Usually per kilowatt, you should be guaranteed anywhere between 1200 to 1500, depending on the panel, inverter technology or location. So this number is important, and you can hold your solar integrator to these numbers. And the second is whether they are providing a online monitoring system called an RMS, which is called remote monitoring system, which enables you to you as well as the solar integrator to remotely monitor the performance of the plant. This helps in preventive maintenance. And also you can question your solar integrator if the generation falls below the expected average. And also, of course, the most important thing is whether the solar integrator is providing the complete turnkey solution, including the fabrication, mounting structures, maintenance, ramp walks, so that you can do regular maintenance of the panels, the entire installation along with the ESCOM licensing. So this complete turnkey solution can be provided by the company, and that's what you need to ask for. And lastly, the warranties of the individual components, especially the panels and the inverters. So the company manufacturers themselves provide these warranties, which are then passed on to you. So keep them safe. You can always claim warranties later if needed. By covering these above points and keeping these in mind, I think you can safely go for a solar installation and be guaranteed that you are actually making a good choice financially, economically, and for sustainability as well.
Perfect. I'm sure the listeners would probably go back and forth on this episode to get to the finer details that you mentioned, Sharat. So thanks for sharing your views on this topic.
Thank you.
So well, that was Sharat, who runs the company Solarify in Bangalore. To know more about them, you can visit their website, solarify.in. If you want to install a solar power plant, you can approach people like Sharat and they will help you with the process. It's easy, it's not complicated, and it will help you save a lot of energy and also some money. There is also a government website, solarrooftop.gov.in. It also has a calculator that allows you to estimate the amount of money that you can save by putting a solar plant. The website also has a compilation of all the regulations across different states in the country. So that's another thing that you can look up to. Also, if you already have a solar power plant on your roof, then well, I'm looking forward to hear stories from you. You can share a photo and tag us on Twitter, Instagram, go by the handle Mission Shunya. And of course, if you have any questions, you can write to me, missionshunya@gmail.com. If you like the episode, let your friends and colleagues know about it. The podcast is now available on all major platforms. So until next time, when I'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next episode, signing off, this is Mission Shunya, towards a zero carbon economy.